until the heavens ring, when I'm bidding this world this world I've tried, mashed everything, and I'm happy now to say there's nothing like religion in a good old-fashioned way. I'm walking in the old-time way, and I want the world to know that I'd rather be an old-time Christian more than anything I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian. Many things I'd like to be as my journey I pursue. I've longed to be a leader like a mortal man would do. I would like to be a millionaire with a million to bestow. But I'd rather be an old-time Christian more than anything I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian Lord than anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go that I'd rather be an old-time Christian Lord than anything I know. All the world is bright since I got right. Now sing and pray and shout. All my burdens have been lifted since the Savior brought me out. I will tell the world both far and near as I journey here below that I'd rather be an old-time Christian Lord than anything I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian Lord than anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go that I'd rather be an old-time Christian Lord than anything I know.
Some people say that this old-time religion is just a thing of the past. But in these modern days that we're living, it's the only thing that will last. Now you may think that I'm a little old-fashioned. Well, friend, it's all right with me. I am so glad that I am a Christian, and from the bonds I have been set free. I know, there's no doubt about it. He's real in my heart, and I'm gonna shout it. I know, my sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven. Heaven. Not long ago at an old-fashioned meeting, I knelt on my knees there in prayer. He lifted my burdens and shackles fell from me, and his presence was real everywhere. Now that the load that I carry is lighter, and he's changed my gray skies to blue. My steps are now higher, 'cause I have this assurance that his sweet love will carry me through. Sing it. I know, there's no doubt about it. He's real in my heart, and I'm gonna shout it. I know, my sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven. Heaven. Y'all should sing it good loud.
Africa.
Come go with me to that land over yonder. He's prepared for the pure and the true. It's a place where sin and death cannot enter. I'm a-going, brother, how about you? It may be today or it may be tomorrow. He'll return in a robe of pure white. And I am so glad that I've made preparations. Who knows? He may come tonight. I know, there's no doubt about it. He's real in my heart, and I'm gonna shout it. I know, my sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven. Amen. message God's placed upon my heart, Philippians chapter number 2. And I want to start reading at the 12th verse of Philippians chapter number 2. Well, I'm glad my sins are gone. I'm glad to be an old-time Christian. Somebody says, preacher, why you got to be an old-time Christian? The Bible said, stand, see, and ask the old path. Walk therein, and you'll find rest for your soul. I didn't know about them old paths, but I'm glad an old preacher, old Holy Ghost-filled preacher, let me know about them old paths. And I'm glad that old path, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 35, is the highway of holiness. And I'm glad it's there for those who are believers and been born again in the blood. If you got Philippians chapter 2, say amen.
Amen.
Here it says in verse number 12, it says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifices and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, and none the things which are Jesus Christ. Would you help me pray? Precious God, merciful Savior, Father, we come before you, Lord, this morning. We thank you for the blessed hope and the blessed blood, Lord God, that made this all possible. I'm glad that I know, and I'm glad it's old-timey, and I'm glad it's heartfelt, and I'm glad it's blood-bought. And some may accuse us of being bloody Baptists, Lord God. But Lord, it is. Take the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And God, I'm glad today that your Son, that you gave His life, laid it down, took it up again, that we could be saved today. But oh God, I pray, Lord, I believe there's folks in here today that's not saved, and they need to be. God, your Bible says it's not your will that any would perish, but all would come unto repentance. And God, I pray today, though it's hard sometimes to look out and see the crowd and the congregation, Lord, and when you're speaking to them, and Lord, they don't know what to do. But God, so I pray today, I pray for their feet, and I pray for that faith that you'll give them, God, that they'll step out on faith and just trust you, that you'll do the rest when they step out. And God, I pray for them today. I pray for their hearts. I pray for my heart. I pray for the liberty. I pray for the spirit. And I pray for the understanding to have. Lord, I pray for your power and that fresh anointing in which you give a man, whereby we can only be preached through, Lord Father. God, I pray for that. And Lord, I pray today, Lord Father, that when we leave out of here today, that we'd be in a better state than we are when we came in. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Thank you for standing and reading. And that's what's on our heart today. Which state are you in this morning? Which state are you in? Now, some of you might be thinking, and it's whispering under your breath, well, I'm in the state of Ohio, preacher. It's kind of an obvious question. But I'm not talking about the boundaries of land masses or boundaries for how the United States has been divided up. I'm not talking about that state. But I'm talking about the condition or the position that you're in. And the state that you're in, the state of life or the state of your heart today. As I was thinking about all the states of the United States of America. And I got to thinking, I remember they've come out with a poll about which was the best states to live in and which was the worst states to live in. And the ones they come up with being the best states to live in, I didn't think they would be the best states to live in. And the ones that come up being the worst states to live in, I never thought they would be the worst states to live in. But I do know this, that if I'm living in a bad state or if my life is in a bad state, you think that maybe you'd want to move out of that bad state and get to a good state, wouldn't you? I mean, I'm asking the young people today, what kind of state's your life in? Though you may be young, you're still in a state, you're still in a position, the condition of your life, the condition of your heart. I'm asking the older generations, the middle age, the old age, the young age, everybody who has the understanding or wants the understanding, well, just what state are you living in? What is the state of your life? What is the state of your happiness?
What is the state of your peace? Here the Apostle Paul is talking to the church of Philippi. And it's right after some of the greatest scriptures that preachers and Sunday school teachers, just Christians in general, love to read and to quote. Talking about how God had gave His Son and gave His life upon Calvary. Talked about how He has given Him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Christ is Lord. Can I say that this morning? That's a good state to be in. It's in a good state for you to be able to drop down to your knees and say, Jesus, You are Lord and I am not. It's a good state to be in when you say, Jesus, I need You. And with all my heart, with all my life, I need You. That's a good state to be in today. And can I say that? And though when we live in today's modern times, and though we have been singing the songs about old time Christian and singing them old time songs about the blood, that's still the best state that you can be in this morning. And this afternoon, as we are at Mount Zion Baptist Church, and maybe you've come and your heart, you're seeking things in your life, you're seeking for something or seeking for a difference or a change to take place. Hopefully you've come to say, I want my life to be better. Hopefully you've come to say, I want my life, the state of my existence to change. Can I say this today? It's an awful state to be in when you're constantly depressed. It's an awful state to be in when you're constantly afraid. It's an awful state to be in when you're constantly in a bad mood or angry all the time. Can I tell you this? When Jesus Christ moves into your life, that is the best state that you'll ever be in. I'm glad the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 11, he said, now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therefore to be content. You said, preacher, what do you mean he is content no matter what state he's in? When Paul's mad, he's content. When Paul's happy, he's content. When Paul's sad, he's content. Well, how can he be in all those things in that state? Because the Bible says thankfulness or being content with God is great gain. And the Apostle Paul was content with God. So therefore, no matter what happened in his life, he was in a state of contentment. He said, oh, can I say this? A lot of person thinks that it's the wealth and it's the prosperity of life that will make life so much better. But that's not the state that you'll have that will cause you to have peace. That's not the state to live in where you'll know you'll have the affirmative or the assurance of knowing of your life. Can I say this morning or this afternoon? Can I say this? We're all living in a state. We're all in a state or a position in our life. And it's whether or not it matches up with what God says our life should be. As I was thinking this today, thinking about this on Friday, we had to go to 2 funerals on Friday. And I was sitting there talking to a young fella who's been strung out on drugs and wearing an ankle bracelet. And he can't go nowhere. He can't leave his house because of all the drugs and things that's happened to his life. And I began to talk to him, and he began to tell me about all the things he was going to do to improve the state of his life. He said, I'm going to get me a job, and I'm going to get me this vehicle, and I'm going to do all this, and I'm going to do all that. He says, I'm going to get myself in a better position. I'm going to get my own house. I'm going to get my own place. But I've heard him say those things over and over and over and over again. Now, can I say this? I'm not, how dare us if we look down upon somebody who's got some demons and some ghosts in their life that just won't let them go. His sin to heal, and he's not proud of it. But he told me, he said, Jason, I'm addicted to drugs. I'm addicted to drugs. He said, and I've tried. You just don't understand, and other people don't understand. And I had to look at him and said, you know what? I really don't understand. I've never been hooked on some of the drugs that they got today. I mean, they got some things today that make you feel superhuman. Not only do they feel superhuman, they act superhuman. I've seen them where they've just been so strong that even tasers can't take them down. They've been shot 30s and 40s sometimes. They can't take them down. These things get a hold of people's lives, and there's nothing that they can do. They try and try and try, but they cannot better their state. But as I was talking to him Friday, I said, can I tell you something? He said, what? I said, I'm about to go to a funeral of a young lady who had the same problems that you did, but she couldn't figure out a way to conquer the same things that you conquered. Now, you might be here today and you say, preacher, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. I'm telling you, you can't get out of the state that you're living in. You can't just pack up and move. But I know somebody who can take care of those problems for you. And His name is Jesus Christ. He can take you from a lost state to a saved state. He can take you from a dirty state to a clean state. He can take you from a sad state to a happy state. Don't tell me God can't do it. There's nothing greater, nothing more powerful, nothing that can conquer our God. He can change the state that you're in. He can change the position of your life. Can I say this? It's not just for lost people, but it's for saved people too. I've been coming across a lot of saved people today. A lot of church-going people, and they just seem so down. They've got the Molly Grimes. They've done hung their heart in the willows. They no longer sing the song that God placed in their heart. You need a state to be changed in your life. You need to move out of that state of sorrow. Move out of that state of depression and get to that place where God wants you to be. He said, there's a place by me. Woo! He said, there's a place by me where you can know the power, feel the power, and have that blessing in your life. Oh, though you may be poor, you're still in the best state. Though you may be hungry, you're still in the best state. Why? Because you'll be content because you're beside God. Anybody hearing this, preacher? You said, preacher, you don't know what happens when death comes to your life. Oh, yes, it does. I know exactly how it is. I was reminded this past Friday what it's like to take a dead body off of a bed and put it in a bag. And as I sat there and did that Friday, my heart was breaking because it brought back memories, Brother Si. I had to do it with my own dad. And people told me, they said, preacher, you should take some time off. I remember he died on Tuesday. I came back to church on a Wednesday. And somebody says, preacher, you shouldn't be in church because it's your dad. And some people might have been thinking, well, maybe he wasn't close to his dad as other people are. Scott Strunk, there ain't nobody closer to their dad than the way I was close to my dad. But can I tell you this? There's something that happened in my life back in 1999 that I just can't get away of. It got a hold of me. And I'm content, though I was sad. My heart was broken on Friday. Not just for my wife's family, but for Randy and Hannah's family. But I do know this, there's a state that God can put you in if you're with Him, and He can make all these things a lot better when you have Him in your life. I've sat there and thought about this and thought about the state of our lives. Can I say this? Can I get to the first point? The state of our country, the state of the United States of America is in. And I'm talking spiritually. I don't know all the economical things. I don't know the stock market. Only thing I really truly know that much about is God. I mean, my intelligence don't measure up with other folks, but there's a state of emergency in the United States of America when it comes to religious living and a spiritual life. In the United States of America today, there's more denominations you can shake a stick at. There's more beliefs on every hand. And as the passing of the days go by, more pop up and more pop up and more pop up. I'm sitting and I'm hearing things come from people's mouths who are supposed to be preachers and who are supposed to be saved and who are supposed to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and they don't even know the Bible that they're preaching from. But can I say this today? It reminds me a whole lot of what it says in Isaiah chapter number 4 and verse number 1. We're living in a state in the United States of America, the state of a spiritual place in the United States of America, where they have totally left off loving God. I know there's people that don't agree with it, and I can't help it. You can go to all your books and go to the libraries. They probably had them all thrown away. But this country was still established for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. People came to flee from religious persecutions. They want to worship the Creator in the way that the Creator wanted to be worshipped, and that is in spirit and in truth. But can I say, as time has gone on, we've gotten more intelligent. We have gotten more technical. We have gotten more things, more modern stuff that's made life so much better. But with the modern conveniences of life, our desire and our dependence on God has gotten weaker and has gotten gone. That's exactly right. I mean, if you think about it right now, you have everything at the fingertips of your cell phone. You have everything at the fingertips of your computer. I mean, you're watching TV now through a phone line. I mean, God help us. I don't know if Alexander Graham Bell saw that one coming or not, but they now watch TV through a phone. Now they watch TV through the air. They can pick it up on satellites and everything. But can I tell you, those folks that can communicate on the cell phones without having a wire, that is not originality. Because my God tells me, if I bow down on my knees in prayer, there's not a wire I got to hope I'm connected to get to Him. He's been answering prayer and communicating with us and with mankind since the beginning. Somebody say amen right there. But the state of our country, the spiritual place, the state of our spirituality in this country has gone by the wayside. Oh, if you was to take the survey, and a lot of people seem to say this, and even though our president did say this a couple years ago, he says, I no longer believe that the United States is a Christian nation. Oh, I beg to differ. There's still some people in this country that are still Christians. I say amen right there. I mean, I just disagree with him on that point. I still think the United States is a Christian nation. But I do want to say this. A lot of them ain't living like they're a Christian. Can I say this today? It's one thing to say you're a Christian. It's another thing to live like one. Somebody say amen right there. Talk cheap and actions speak louder than words. Oh, can I say this today? It seems like in today's day and time, everybody wants to be associated with a deity. Everybody wants to be associated with some kind of higher power. I mean, if they don't like to call it God and they don't want to call Him Jesus, they try to find these other names and try to find these other things to do. Some people just talk about their spiritual life that they have with the unknown spirit, but they want to call it. But can I tell them, they're not spitting out something new. These things have always been. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 4 and verse number 1, it says, "In those that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach." Isaiah was prophesying about the state of Israel back in those days. They had done moved off worshiping God. They had done moved off loving God. They had done removed their heart far from God. Oh, they would come to church and they would sing the song. They would come to church and lift up the voice. They would come to church and draw nigh with their lips. But their heart was far from God. Somebody say amen out there. I'm reminded of this today, and sometimes we're looking for the feel-good message. In 2016, a lot of folks say, well, it's a modern day, a new modern way. We need new modern messages. I beg to differ, friend, that what it takes is a good old gospel of Jesus Christ to change the state that you're living in. It's never failed. It's been 100% successful. I've never seen God lose, no, not one. He's never lost, no, not one. And He's always been there. Said He changes not. In today's day and time, I talk to people all the time. One of the biggest things they like to say is, well, I'm a Christian, just not practicing one. God help. I ain't practicing either, Brother Ron. I don't get a second rehearsal at this. This is the only time I got. Somebody say amen right there. Do you know how hard it is to win somebody back once you've done something in their presence and they look at you negatively? Somebody hearing this preacher this morning? You know how hard it is to win their confidence back when you tell them you're saved? They're like, yeah, right. Saved as the dog is in the pound. So many times people don't realize, and I've heard people all the time say, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm still living in sin. Now, this is one thing I want to say about this, and I want to move on to the next point. I got to think about this because I remember I used to hear preachers all the time used to get all over you if they say you ever doubted that you were saved. I remember I had preachers tell me, if you doubt you're saved, then you ain't saved to begin with. I understand what they're saying, but can I say something? If you've got sin in your life, you better hope there'll be some question marks and flags being raised up in your life if you are saved. Am I hearing this preacher? I don't know how many times whenever I've got myself sideways or got myself wrong, and as we like to say, and they say the three-letter word that always makes people cringe, but Sister Sharon, when I had sin in my life, I'll be honest with you, I got down on my knees and asked God just exactly where did that come from? Why did that happen? And nobody wants to address the issue. They want to brush it under the rug. But my Bible tells me, and Paul said in Romans chapter number 7, he said, that is within me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. You young people hearing me? I don't care how saved you are. I don't even care how old you've been or how long you've been in the house of God. I don't care how long you've been saved. There's still enough sin in your flesh that'll kill you and bring you down and cause the end of your life. Somebody say amen right there. And if sin's not dealt with, sin will deal with you. I've had people all the time say, well, preacher, I'm saved. I just like doing those things in the world still. I just like doing all those things. I still like having a good time and partying, doing all that. I still like all that fornicating and cussing and lying and doing all those other. Can I say something? If there's never been a change of a state that you're living in, when God saved your soul, you never move states. Somebody say amen. We'll get to that here in a second. But the United States of America, it seems like we got more and more people that want to be called a Christian but don't want to act like one. And Isaiah said it was happening back in those days. It's happening these days. Can I tell you what the state of the church world's in? Our church world is trying to use carnal way of thinking to do the spiritual work that God wants done. They think, well, let's do this and let's do that and let's do this and let's do that. A lot of them's got the ball worship going on. They worship the ball, the basketball, the softball, the soccer ball. Don't get me wrong. I think things are good when they're properly put in their place. But they should never supersede the worship of the Lord. They should never supersede the Word of God. They should never supersede the preaching of God's Word. Am I hearing this preaching this morning? I mean, I know some people don't like it. Some people think it's mean. But can I tell you this? In today's day that we're living in now, in the modern church world, people are more excited over putting their kids in sports than they are the house of God. That's exactly right. And too many times people don't realize those kids, and don't get me wrong, I have to deal with my own kids. And Jolene, my kids, if I ask them honestly, I said, you got that Xbox sitting there, we got you for Christmas. You got all the modern games sitting right there. Well, you want to go to church tonight? They're going to say, no, Dad, I don't want to go to church. I want to sit there and play those games. Look, all you're looking at me, mad at me already. Because you know you bought your kid one too. Somebody say amen. And don't get me wrong, all these modern conveniences are nice, but when they supersede your relationship, when they supersede the position that you should be, and that in the eyes of God, you've got yourself jack-legged, you got yourself sideways, you're backwards, and you need to repent and get back close to God. You move from the state that God had you in, and you move to a less desired state. I was thinking, and don't get me wrong, some people may think I'm crazy. I know Junior and Lois went there. They said the number one state that they said to live in the United States is Hawaii. I would not want to live in Hawaii. They got tsunamis out there. And sharks. If I can't catch a fish that ain't going to eat me, I don't want to live there. If I got catching fish, nuh-uh. But too many people like the state of convenience. They like the state of beauty. Hey, I like my life to be easy. I'm right there with you. But can I tell you something? When your life is at ease, the Bible says, woe unto them. Woe unto them whose life is at ease in Zion. That's saved and unsaved people. The state of the church is that if we do things to make everybody happy and everybody takes care of it, and we got to make sure everybody's happy. Can I tell you, everybody's not going to be happy in the house of God. Somebody say amen. I mean, when the preacher preached on my life, Jeff, I was the maddest person in the house of God. I was mad. But God reminded me it wasn't the preacher that was getting on to me. It was God revealing the state that I was living in. And when he revealed to me my state, I had to repent. Repentance is a must. It's a must. If you don't repent, you won't get regenerated or rebirthed. If you don't repent, you can't get back in the same the state that God has you in. And the state of the church, we got this mentality. It says, for to be carnally, to have this carnal way of thinking. But the Bible tells me in Romans 8:6-8, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's the reason why we're all the time asking you to pray about things that should be done in your life. Pray about the things that God wants to do in your life. Pray about the things you want to do with God. You better be spirit-led and not carnally minded-led. I've been told by many people that if you just change the way the message comes out, if you get more modern singing, if you get the proper instrument, the proper instruments and the musicians that can play them, when they play them the right way and the songs are sung the right way and them things are done as it's put down in the book, then you can have true worship. Well, I only got one thing to disagree with them with that. The Bible says, open up your mouth and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And can I tell you, I felt the power of God with people who couldn't sing a tune, couldn't carry a tune in a bucket more than I've heard them fancy singers. I've seen them fancy singers, and God's pushing my button. God's pushing my button. I ain't trying to be mean. I know you're going to go home and say something bad about me, but I can't help it. God's pushing my button. You'll stay up all night long watching Gaither of the Homecoming things on TV. And you start listening to them more and more and more. Their songs just get more and more away from specifically identifying who the Redeemer is. They're getting more and more away of having things, doing things on their own way. Can I say this? Right now what we have in the modern church and the church world today is just how well can you entertain the people and keep their attention grasped to the front of the church. So what they do entertainment type things. They bring in the Gaither vocal cop stuff. They bring in the fancy musicians and the fancy singing. Don't y'all look at me that way. You know I'm preaching truth. Because if they leave out of the house of God feeling bad about themselves, Brother Scott Strunk, they'll go home and thank their Savior. There's only one problem with that. That singing just rolls right off of you as soon as you leave the house of God. But the Word of God with power gets into your heart and will change you and make you in a better state. I've had people get mad at me over this. My wife got asked one time. They said, preacher, you won't go to the Gaither concert down in Louisville? It was on a Saturday night. Me and my wife said, no, can't go. They said, why? I said, because I'm going to be out real late getting back home from Louisville, and I got to get up and preach on Sunday morning. Somebody say amen. You know what I was told, Sister Stella? They said, he won't bother nobody if you just take a little time for yourself. I am taking time for myself. I've been called to preach the gospel of God, and there's a woe upon my head if I preach it not. Now, you're all going to go out there and say, our pastor don't like Bill Gaither. I love Bill Gaither. But things has gotten out of hand in our church world. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I believe there's a time and place for everything. But the number one place, the number one thing should be the state that you're living with God. And it don't come through entertainment. Right. Lastly on this thing right here, and I'll get to my close. The state of our home. Here's what it all spins out of, the state of the home. Preacher, is your home perfect? Nope. At times I wonder if the right person is leading them or not. I'm not talking about the Lord, Julie. I'm talking about myself. There's a battle, there's a fight, there's a struggle. The devil ain't going to try to fight the church because he knows he has to deal with all of us. Last week we had 109 of us. He ain't going to try to deal with 109, but he's going to go to your house where the numbers are few. And he can drive a wedge and cause confusion.
Amen.
Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
Try to use your kids against you. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen. Amen.
Some of you kids don't realize some of the things you've gotten in trouble with, got caught up with. The devil's using that, using you to get at your parents, to get at your grandparents, and to drive a wedge in your church and your youth group. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You said, preacher, it's harsh preaching, but it's truthful because the state, it don't, I mean, I've heard people say, well, God's got this group and God's got that group. There's only two types of people in this world. It's saved and the unsaved.
Amen. Amen.
Somebody say amen. Saved and the unsaved. There's only two types of people in this world. It's not black, white, yellow, polka dot, and zebra stripe. It's not Chinese, Russian, Mexican, and American. It's the saved and it's the unsaved.
Amen. Amen.
Our concern should be the unsaved getting saved. And then helping those that are saved to stay in a situation where they can help others get saved. But the state of the home is so crucial. I've heard the cries. Well, they took the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse and out of the schoolhouse. That's because they come out of the house before they come out of the mother houses. They took prayer out of school. They took prayer out of the courthouse. That's because the homes took it out of their home. If you had, some people say, I can't believe this country has gotten so far liberal. That's because the liberalism started in the home.
Amen.
You can't even watch TV now. I thought about this. Our world's got it backwards. I remember used to, and we try this in our home. Something, if you're watching TV, we try to run as fast as we can to turn it. Maybe we should just get rid of the TV. But used to, people were so scared about what their kids saw on TV and what they heard music-wise, and they bring them to the house of God to hear the preaching of God's word. Didn't they? Now they want to shelter him from the preacher because they're afraid he's going to hurt their feelings or scare them and let them watch whatever they watch on TV and listen to whatever they want to listen to on the radio. Is that right, preaching? Am I right? I mean, most of our kids nowadays can quote SpongeBob before they can quote John 3:16. Somebody say amen. They care more about the songs that are being sung on American Idol and I don't even know what's... I mean, Taylor Swift. I mean, I ain't trying to... They care more about them songs. And they'll hear them songs and they'll sing them songs. But you ask them to sing Jesus Loves Me and not too many of them know it anymore.
Amen.
I heard a song. I was going somewhere. I heard this one song. I was with the guys from work. Was in the work truck. And they said, hey, preacher, you'll like this song. It says, Real Men Love Jesus. It was on the radio. I was like, hey, I like that song. And about two words later, he's talking about throwing a beer down his throat. I was like, hold up for a second. Hold up. This man loves Jesus and I hate alcohol. But they're trying to dumb us all down through the music and through the television set to get the home polluted and divided and in the worst state that it's ever been in. The traditional home is the thing of a past. And we can't go back. But we got to do as best as we can now and get our home back in the right state. I got more to get to, but I got to get to the closing of this. I want to ask you today, you that's here, it's lost. You that's here, that's come to church this morning. Some of you's come so many times. Maybe you're here and your name's on the church roll. But what's the state of your soul? If you died right now, in your heart, where would you open up your eyes? I was reminded, and a lot of people don't like these messages, but I went to two funerals on Friday, as I said before, and there was people that spoke before the preacher. And both people that spoke before the preachers, they had the people in the funeral home laughing, remembering, having the good things. It was the good times. They was the well-liked preacher, if you'll have it. And then the other preachers had to come in behind them and be the bad preacher and tell them that they needed to get saved. But I asked for that, Brother Bruce. I said, I'll give the message that no other preacher wants to give. So if you leave here today, if you leave here today, I want you to leave knowing this. There's a story in this Bible that talks about when the unclean spirit of a man goes out. He goes out and tries to find rest and can't find none, but he comes back. That unclean spirit comes back to the man. That can be a woman, a man, a young man, a young woman, but that spirit comes back. What caused that spirit to leave? Well, my Bible shows me it's the preached word.
Amen.
Cleans them up, shows them, manifests. The light gets shined in the darkness. They see their sins, and they don't like it. I don't think anybody here likes evil sins. I mean, I know some people say, well, I love it. Yeah, when they get alone by themselves, they don't like it. They don't like their life. But the Bible says when them unclean spirits come back, the house is empty. There's nobody living in the house. The Bible says this in the verses before. I was going to read the scripture. I'm going to. In the verses before, it says, no man's goods can be spoiled unless a stronger man comes and binds that strong man and spoils his goods. So there has to be somebody stronger to come in to throw the one in out. Y'all with me this morning? Say amen. But it says that there was nobody in the house, and that unclean spirit came back and saw that it was empty. He went and got seven other spirits worse than himself and entered in that man. And it says his last state was worse than the first. What happened? The word of God came and cleaned him up, showed him his state. And instead of asking God into his life, what happens? And you may think I'm crazy and think I'm trying to scare people. This is Bible. It'll drive away the unclean. It'll drive away the evil spirits, Ron. But they always come back. And they always come back with friends. And they'll move into that heart. They'll move into that life, Jolene. And the end of that life. It would have been better if they had never heard the gospel. You young people, I want you to listen to this. Listen real good. A lot of times people will say it's square. It's not cool to go to church. It's not cool to live that life. Play your video games. Do your social media stuff. It's better to do those things. It's better to have friends and all those things. Don't get me wrong. I think those all have a place. But if God's not first in your life, you'll wind up in the ditch like the rest of the other folks will. And I'm reminded today just exactly how did that man get in that state? It's because that spirit moved into him. How you can improve your state today is where does God live? Does he live in your state? Is he in there? Paul told the church of Colossians, he said, it's the hope of glory. Christ in you. Christ in you. In you. In them scriptures I read, it talked about in you, the state that's in you. In the first chapter of the book of Philippians, it says, he that begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the end. The apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So preacher, how do you keep that state? Well, there's somebody so strong that lives inside my heart that them unclean spirits can't come back. They can't beat down the door, they can't spoil, they can't bind, they can't rule my life no more. Why? Because there's a stronger one on the inside. But can I say this today? If I neglect the Lord, if I frustrate the grace of God, as Paul said, by trying to be religious or trying to dot the I's and cross the T's or try to live that pretend type life and faking it instead of faithing it, mark her down. I'll wind up in a ditch. Some of you here today, and every time you come, you're coming, you're looking for something. I can see it on your face right now. I can see your face right now, and you don't like the state that you're living in. But you're afraid to move from it. When I was a kid, I remember Susan Struthers. She was the one from all the family, wasn't she? Was she one from all in the family? Yeah. I just saw where Edith died. Or Glad, whatever her name was, Archie's wife, Mrs. Bunker. Y'all, who here watched All in the Family? Y'all know what I'm talking about. I got sidetracked right there, James. Got interrupted. But I remember Susan Struthers. She had all those poor people. She'd say, seeing a dollar a day would feed these kids. And they saw these kids in like Africa. And they had nothing but dirt and sand around them. And they were skin and bones. And I always thought to myself, I'm like, why don't they just move? Why don't they just get up and move? Don't look like they've got much. They got a mud hut, a couple of pouches. Lord knows they ain't got no cupboards. They ain't got no water. Move. Move. I even said it to one of my teachers one time. They said, Jason, you don't understand. It's not that easy. They can't just pack up their stuff and move. Where are they going to go? Who's going to take them in? Y'all hearing this, preacher? And I found out they couldn't make it on their own. Had to have somebody help them. Well, being back in April, I couldn't get out of the state that I was in. Some people look at you and say, well, just quit. Quit that lifestyle. Quit the drinking. Just quit. Quit the drinking. Quit the drugs. Quit the lying. Quit the cussing. Quit all the cheating. Quit all the stealing. Quit all the gambling. Quit all the bad stuff. Hey, if it was easy, we'd all quit. But there's a problem. No man's ever been able to get out of it. Not by himself. I couldn't move. But one day somebody came by and says, come on, Jason, we're going to get out of the place that you're living in. Going to help me move. Going to help me move. And I moved from that state into a better state. I wonder here today who all here would like to leave the state that they're living in, like to live in that better state. Like to live in that spiritual Hawaii. Maybe it's Hawaii is your state. I know some of us like Kentucky. Bad news, Kentucky was one of the worst states. And so was Ohio. I'd like to pack up and leave Ohio, but I can't do it on my own either. But I wonder today, I'm asking you, will you listen to the preacher? Just, would you like to live in a better state? Would you like to walk out of here today and say, I don't want to fear death no more, and I don't fear it no more. I don't fear what this world has in store, because I know I got my family, I got this church, and most of all, I've got God in my life. Would you like to have that state in your life? Well, what you need to do is when we stand up, or maybe it's right now, what you need to do is step out of that pew, come down there and go to these altars. I've had people say, preacher, why do you always ask folks to come to the altar? Well, it helps on one instance to get away from the seat that you're in. It actually helps you stepping away from your position that you're at. Helps you step away. And secondly, at an altar is where God will change you. And thirdly, Christ walked all the way up to Golgotha's hill. And I'm telling you, if you'll make that trek, he'll be there with you. He'll prove to you how much he loves you. But it's only if you want to move.